Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode.
Welcome to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal, where our goal is to change the way you practice dentistry by helping you achieve clinical, financial, and personal balance. Now, here's your host, T-Bone.
All right, so we're sitting here in my kids' room in the couch, because somehow in our house we can't find a place to find a quiet place to sit down. It's almost impossible to, if you really think about it. You think about how big this place is, and we can't find a quiet place. And we were going to go to the basement, and then my wife suddenly decided, by the way, for the first time, I can never get her to go to the movie theater and watch a movie with me. I'm like, I always want to use the movie theater, because I'm like, what's the point of having a movie theater if you don't go watch it, right? Or you don't use it. And so she's going down there to watch a movie the one time that we want to go downstairs and record. So I want to welcome everybody back to our podcast. And today we are joined by a new guest, Dr. Eric Ballou. Because I called him Blue, and he said, no, it's like Baloo from the, what book was that?
The Jungle Book. And he's never seen The Jungle Book.
Yeah, I don't, is that like an old movie?
The Jungle Book. Well, they just released one this last year.
Is it a book? Is it a movie?
It's a movie. It's a Disney movie. Disney. Two Disney movies.
Like, what do you mean? Like, it's like part one, part two?
No, they did Disney movie, the cartoon, and then they redid it with, you know, like how they can do the really cool animals now.
Oh, like kind of pseudo animation?
Like, it looks like real animals.
Like Jurassic Park? Okay.
Kind of like that.
Yeah, so
it's a great movie.
So we brought the Jungle Book, Dr. Jungle Book with us. Okay, and then the lady here laughing with the deep, sexy voice today, with the Marvin Gaye voice, is Aaron Elliott. So Aaron,
charging for this podcast, right?
Well, it depends what we're doing with it. But what happened to your voice?
I just got a cold, and this is what happened.
So are you a germaphobe? We were talking about that earlier.
I am not a germaphobe.
But apparently you're not having your parents chlorhexidine enough to not get sick.
They're making fun of me because I have my patients rinse with chlorhexidine before procedures.
But all patients?
Yeah.
Before cleanings?
Yes.
So are you like the number one user of chlorhexidine in the country?
Probably, but it works. Well, obviously not. I got a cold, but that could be from anywhere.
Why don't you just have them rinse with Listerine or something? Doesn't it work just as well? Cepacol? It burns.
Just so patients think it's something's happening.
Isn't everything about the perception?
Yes.
So, Eric, tell me about yourself.
Well, I practice in Boise, Idaho. I'm originally from Utah and Idaho. Went back to dental school.
How can you be from Utah and Idaho? Was it like one state back then?
No. So I grew
up. You're that old or something?
Utah, but my dad lived in Idaho, so I would go and stay with my dad in Idaho some of the time, and then back to Utah.
Okay.
So, kind of both.
And then you stayed there?
Then I went to University of Utah. There's no dental school. Wasn't a dental school there. And so I applied all over and decided and got into Virginia, went back east. And then we liked living outside of Utah. And so my dad, who had lived in Boise, said, go check it out. We loved it when we lived there. Wish I'd have never left. So my wife and I went second year, third year, fourth year, met different doctors until I found one that would take me.
And when you said take you, what do you mean by that? Like take you?
I decided,
like the way I want my wife to take me?
I mean, I decided where I wanted to live. And then I kind of chose what kind of dentistry I wanted to do. And I found a doctor that was using CEREC, and I was interested in that. Did his own implants, and I was interested in
What
that.
Year did you graduate?
2008.
From dental school. Mm-hmm. So that's roughly 8 years ago.
8 years ago.
Okay.
And so I...
And what year are we talking about chronologically? Is it 2008 that you are you talking
2005
about?
2005 and 6 in dental school is when I thought, well...
So you're that kind of person. Like, well, you were pre-planning where you were going that early? You assumed you were going to graduate?
Yeah,
I assumed. I was in question whether or not I was going to graduate.
Not only that, but he graduated in, like, one of the worst years in our...
Yeah, economically, yeah.
It kind of depends on how you think. I've always been grateful for that.
So for him, it's all the sky. It's only up from there, right?
Yeah, because we're a lot of... So I joined this practice with as an associate.
As an associate, okay.
Yeah, so one doctor office that I talked him into doing a two-doctor office with. And so it was slow times. And then it was especially slow times with the recession. But that's all I knew. So I only learned to talk to patients about treatment in stages and the way that they could... go forward with treatment. Mm-hmm. So I never had these glory days of, yeah, let's do a full mouth of veneers right out of the gates. You know, the cases that I did, I really had to earn. I really had to work up.
You know what you're missing out on that? All the redos you get to do.
Right. And then I worked in a Medicaid clinic to make ends meet and got to chuck a lot of teeth and do a lot of dentures and partials. And now I still kind of like doing that. My partner hates it, so that works out well.
So in the partner you were, so when you say partner, so the gentleman that you were associating with, you bought into the practice.
I was very patient. So it was one of these Mercer things where we go down to Scottsdale and they say, all right, you can buy into this practice next year and we'll set the valuation and then we'll start doing this. Well, I wasn't making enough money. I wasn't seeing enough patients to be able to buy into that practice. Mm-hmm. And I did worry about if it was going to work out. I liked Mike and I liked the kind of dentistry that I was doing, but I wasn't sure that it would work out. He bought a cone beam in 2009. And
at the height of the negative of our economy.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like me.
He also did a blue cam, like the first blue cam. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking buying into the practice, I remember thinking, oh man, you're like the Jedi master of the red cam. What? why are we doing this for? No one's going to know the difference. Patients won't perceive the mm-hmm. difference. But then I got to try it, and I thought, wow, this is so much easier for me as a new user to go from the red.
Yeah, you should. Yes, so owner doctor, you should buy this.
Yes, like,
please buy it so I don't have to pay for it.
And then he decided to do the cone beam, and I was like, yeah, go ahead.
You should buy that too.
So I started going down to Scottsdale, and that's when I first heard from you and the integration of Galileos and CEREC. And I thought, at the very least, if this doesn't work out, I'm getting the best education I could possibly hope for.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
At the perfect time, technology, I feel like one of the luckiest dentists ever to start in 2008 in a struggle with a lot of time on my hands to go and do CE, to go and learn from the greats like yourself. Like, I feel like I'm in like a dental celebrity's house. I don't think that there was like dental celebrities until 2008. Yeah. There's like Christensen and then nobody.
Well, did your senior doc support CE? Did he?
Oh yeah.
Did he encouraged it?
Yeah. He was a active in CEREC doctors. Yeah. And when I remember going down there and going out to this bar that they had this event at the Fox Sports Grill, and Samir and Armin had just kind of started CEREC doctors. And I remember they were talking about Sarmon technique, and they had heard that someone else was talking about Sarmon technique, and they were like, people actually listen to this shit. and it was, you know, it's really changed since those days where it's like they've really developed a thorough course and an atmosphere where I got to join into that mentorship pretty early when they started the mentorship. And I felt like a really young kid amongst all these experts. But every time I'd go down, I'd learn something new and it'd push me. And as I started to produce more, he said, yeah, let's do this. Let's do the partnership. And I bought in. And
probably. And when are you going to kick him out?
I want him to stay as long as possible. In fact, when we went down to CEREC 30, we were looking at those really nice Teneos.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like,
yeah, you should. Your 50% should buy this.
Well, no. This is the way that I thought of it. Like, we're in a beautiful home, right?
Right.
Like, you don't think a whole lot about spending an extra $100,000 on a home. In this kind of home. But people, for some reason, with dental equipment, they worry about 30 or $50,000 like it's a huge deal. And my partner, I really want him to stay. I really like working with him. So I said, Mike, let's make this your surgical suite, this office space that you have. And he had a big office that was just, you know, an office. I said, let's make this an operatory, your place, and let's get the nice chair.
What are you buttering him up for?
Because I want him to stay, and plus I get to use it.
Yeah.
So he uses it when we're there together, and then I get to go in there the other 2 days.
Sorona must love you.
Sorona loves us.
They bet.
You're the first guy to sign up for this. Why don't you come out to Germany and see how it's made, train there, and we did it, and seeing how Sorona does things just blew my mind.
Typical German company.
I loved it.
Yeah, that's good. Well, speaking of Dentsply Sirona, we should actually call it Dentsply Sirona now.
Yeah.
And again, just for full disclosure, I'm a trainer speaker for Dentsply Sirona, and my goal with the podcast is you'll very rarely hear me talk about their products directly, but I'm not an employee or anything like that. But I know, Eric, you've been after Aaron for a while.
to buy technology.
Clarify that, right? But and then since we've met, I've been after you, like, why in the world do you not have digital technology? And so I think we finally, after our last course, you came down and you kind of saw some of what we were doing. And I think you finally decided that. So talk to us about that.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, podcast family. T-Bone here. Are you a dentist looking to elevate your practice and profits? Then pay close attention. Introducing the 3D Business Mastermind, the dental business coaching program designed for dentists who want to see real results. I've walked the path of practice ownership for nearly 25 years. I know your challenges. I felt your pain. This is your opportunity to overcome the chaos, the busyness, and the financial frustrations of owning a dental practice. Imagine a dental practice where your appointment book is highly productive, doing the dentistry you enjoy, your team is self-motivated, and your profits keep climbing. That's what the 3D Business Mastermind is all about. In this exclusive mastermind, you'll join a league of ambitious dentists driven to elevate their practices. You'll gain access to proven strategies, personalized coaching, and a community that understands your journey. So if you're ready to supercharge your dental practice and enjoy the success you deserve, visit www.3d-dentists.com and take the first step towards a brighter future in dentistry by filling out the 3D Business Mastermind application. Now, let's get to this week's episode.
Well, I have to be honest that my business partner has owned a Sarah.
Do you notice that women always say business partner?
Yeah.
They never, and they just, men just say partner, right? We could have just assumed you meant life partner, right?
Yeah.
But Aaron has to say my business partner.
I'm glad you see my issues here. He's owned a Sarah, and when I came in as an associate, I was an associate for 8 years before I bought in. And when he had a Sarah the whole time, I went and trained on it. I just never loved it. Like, powder does not love me, and yeah. I don't love powder. And when he, so I knew my
but don't partner, women use a lot of powder?
I don't actually.
I'm not saying, I didn't say you. I didn't say you. I said women in general.
You should be used to it.
Yeah.
No, but after I came back from the last course that I taught with you and saw the capability of 3D, we were getting surrounded by people bugging us anyways.
They're vultures, those salespeople.
Yes.
They never let up, but nor should they, right?
That's their job.
Yeah.
But I finally convinced my partner we were at a place with production and collections that we could afford it. And not only is he already using the technology, he's giddy about the technology.
He loves it, huh? How old is your partner, if you don't mind me asking? How old is your business partner?
In a long time. He is now 51.
51. That sounds so old, doesn't it? But it's not.
Ancient. I'm 39 now.
Yeah.
And we've been together for 13 and a half
years. As business partners.
Yes.
Okay.
I've outlasted all of his marriages.
Oh, my God.
He doesn't listen to this.
Okay. No, but even if he does, that's okay. But you should tell him to listen to it. So at 51, I would call that in the midlife crisis stage of dentistry, where you're somewhat bored with dentistry a little bit. And so now he's excited. Have you seen him this excited before?
Maybe when he first started implants, but even now, like, he's like, oh, hey, look at this. Look at this. Like, he's excited, and it's really fun to see. And I don't know if we could have done it without doing both.
Right. Yeah. So you, when you say both, well, yes, and I made fun of you for that. Yeah. Not that it's a bad decision at all, but because for somebody, for me, what I said was, man, I'm trying to get you to just buy cone beam, for God's sakes.
I'm conservative and yeah. Single, and all of a sudden we're
so next thing you know, she's like, no, I'm not ready. We're not ready for cone beam. We're not ready for cone beam. I'm like, what about Sarah? Oh, no, we're not ready for that either. And next thing you know, she's like, hey, texting me. Hey, just so you know, I bought a cone beam and a Sarah. I'm like, what, at the same time? Like, what's going wrong with you?
I talked him into it, and Okay. Honestly, that's a big part of it. But he's really pretty laid back and lets me kind of do my thing, and I think he finally saw the value in it. And it's really crazy because the salespeople tell you, you're going to do 30% more dentistry because you're going to see so much more than you've ever seen before. Already.
Yeah, you're seeing things you didn't see.
In a week that we've integrated it, we found 4 resorptions, non-restorable teeth, implants. Like, it's
amazing what happens when you start seeing. You know, I when I do my talking at the summits and stuff, I always tell people that we've really reached the end of the line for 2D imaging in terms of what it can do. We really have reached that. I tell people that 2D imaging is lying to us because it doesn't tell us the whole story. It's like it's the male lie. Okay, the male lie. The male doesn't think they're lying if they simply forget, don't tell you everything.
Do you know the 2 weeks, I counted it, the 2 weeks before we got the 3D installed and we had to get our IT guy and
do all the computer updates and all of that, too.
It was a thing, but it wasn't huge.
Yeah, but it's always a pain in the butt.
My partner had referred out 4 patients to an endodontist to go get a 3D image to see if this tooth could be saved. We already knew that it had a vertical root fracture. We just couldn't.
You wanted to. You wanted to in your own mind. You wanted to be certain.
But guess what? I get to do that at my office now, and we place implants, so we get to do.
Yeah, and you need to make it easy for your patients.
And my partner's already doing like the implant planning and the. Like I said, it's just so fun. He's even logging in from home, and I've never seen.
He's a dork, huh?
No, not normally.
But now he is. Now you're going to see the real side of him. So I think Eric is going to be your in office trainer for Sarah.
I requested Eric specifically.
Wow, that's a high compliment, Eric. Well, I'm disappointed you didn't request me to come out to the suburbs of Boise.
I haven't listened to you enough.
Yeah, no joke. That's true.
Well, Aaron trained in our office last year on sleep.
Okay. So you brought Aaron into your office to train your team on sleep apnea. Okay.
I had met her at a state dental meeting, and she was hitting me up for money because she was in charge of an ad pack. And we got to chatting, and
so she propositioned you?
He handed his credit card over to me the first time I met him.
Give to the ad pack.
Yeah. Was this in Vegas?
No. Sun Valley.
She's good friends with...
This kind of stuff goes on there, too?
I told him
I'm kidding.
Donated to the political action.
So I'm talking about totally something different than that, okay?
So one of her classmates is a trainer and friend of mine, Dustin Connington. And he said, oh, Erin's terrific. She knows a lot about sleep. Well, I don't even know if we talked a little bit about that, but I went to another sleep course in Boise, a friend of mine, Dan Bruce. And somehow I got flagged that Erin knew that I went to the course, and she sent me an email that you want to be part of this Northwest, or what's it called?
A forum. Yeah.
Forum.
Yeah.
And so we started communicating with that, and I said, I really would like you to come into my office and really show our whole team how to do this. And we implemented a lot of things, and it was great. This weekend, learning more from both of you has been terrific. As a review.
So that was remedial because you're not that smart.
Yeah, that's why it takes me a long time.
Okay, I'm just saying.
Pick things up. but Sarah, I love, and I've been telling Erin for a while that she's just missing out on, well, cone beam, and I really said Serona needs you. They really need someone that's understands sleep, that's made all these appliances, and that could be a real advocate for cone beam. And I know that you started to do it, but it's all kind of new.
Yeah, it's new.
And, and so
we don't even know what it all means.
A really dynamic, good speaker. And I said, they really need to bring in somebody like you for this position.
So, you're are you her pimp daddy now?
Well, no.
No. He just like, straight up said no. Yeah. Like, so seriously, right?
And so... I told you,
you never know what I'm going to say.
I had an accept course in Scottsdale, and her rep, her CEREC specialist, was down there, and I...
What's his name again?
John Wake Up.
Okay.
And I said, hey, how's it going with Erin? Is she buy in yet? Is she part of this program yet? He said, oh, Mom, she's coming along. And I said, oh, I really hope it happens. And when it happens, I'd love to be involved with the training as well. So I really feel fortunate that I get to go up and help be part of her office in implementing this technology, because it's exciting. It's exciting from the sleep portion. I always tease her that she never picks up a handpiece.
Yeah, because she does
so much with sleep. But I'm really excited.
But she does, because you have to, as you saw today, you have to adjust the George gauge a little bit.
But
and you know, already my assistants are, I allow them, I delegate as much as I possibly can, only because they love it. And, you know, I still do a lot of dentistry by choice.
Don't lie. We only work because we have to pay the bills, okay? We have to pay the bills.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hello, podcast family. T-Bone here, bringing you our newest live patient implant training, Full Arch Express. For dentists already placing implants and ready to level up and continue building their implant practice, this is the golden ticket. We're diving deep into Full Arch Implants, the hottest game changer in implant dentistry. In this program, we tackle both overdentures and all-on-X fixed hybrids, mastering techniques that are essential for modern, comprehensive dental care. It's about getting your hands on the tools and techniques that will replace the doubt and fear with confidence and predictability. Here's the kicker. There's live patient training right here in North Carolina. You're not just learning theories. You're in the operatory doing real work on real patient from start to finish, guided one-on-one by our expert 3D mentors. You'll learn the nuances of each approach, ensuring you can cater to a wide range of patients to maximize revenue. Speaking of revenue, with me, you know it's not just about the clinical skills. We're bringing business into this aspect too, teaching you how to integrate these advanced services profitably into your practice. So are you ready to rise up to the top in implant dentistry? Join us at the Full Arch Express. This isn't just another course, it's a career-defining leap. Head to www.3ddentist.com to enroll in our next session. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now, back to this week's episode.
Anyways, it just seems to all be flowing at this point, and I'm very thankful now that staff is kind of...
You have infections in your office?
Huh?
You have staff infections in your office?
No, things are stable.
That'd be called a team then?
Yes. You know what?
That's a pet peeve of mine.
It is of mine too, and I don't know why I just said that, because I'm so careful to say team.
Yeah.
No, I feel like my team is stable. In fact, I just took a staff photo. So I'm like taking wagers on staff photo. Next just team photo. Yeah.
So I got to tell the story about how I met Erin. Because like you, I heard Erin on Howard Ferrand's podcast, and I reached out to her, and we had started doing sleep probably 4 or 5 years ago in our practice, and it just died down a little bit, and I wanted a little injection of sleep in our practice to get going again. And so I reached out to her, and I wanted to bring her into the office to do some training for our team. But I'm Indian, so I'm cheap. So I said, why would I pay you to come train my team? I'll just have you do a course at my office, and I'll stick my team in for free, right? So then that started our relationship and our training program, and it's interesting yin and yang that we have. So Eric, let's talk about sleep a little bit, okay? So I want to be tough on you a little bit. Is that okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, you sure?
Yeah.
You don't know what that means when you say yes.
I do, because I was part of your course.
Okay. So let me ask you this. What are your struggles? Because your struggles aren't, you're not alone in this. So you've taken sleep lectures, you've taken sleep workshops, you've had somebody come to your office and implement sleep, one of the best, come to your office and talk to your team members about sleep. So where do you think you've been missing the pieces of the pictures to really take this to another level?
Well, I think one of the biggest mistakes, I was telling Erin earlier today, one of the biggest mistakes I think we made is when she came, we tried to get everybody on board with sleep, which is a good thing to have everyone understand how it works and the risks and what to look for and the signs. And we definitely all talk more about sleep all across the board. My partner, who didn't really know anything about it, is now interested in it, not really in making devices, but
your business partner.
Yeah. My business partner, Mike. And so, but what happened is no one knew it thoroughly. We didn't have that, what we called identified today as a sleep ambassador. We never had.
I call them champions.
Someone that had real
ownership. Ambassadors die in Benghazi.
Okay. just a sleep champion.
Yeah.
So we didn't really develop that in our practice, that someone that was just in charge of the software.
Because so what you're saying, what you're saying is that you tried, because when you said you wanted everybody to have their part, I'm like, that's great. You want everybody to have their part. But what I'm hearing from you is that you wanted everybody to do their little part of their work in the workflow of sleep, and nobody really owned sleep in your practice.
Right. And so there wasn't a smooth workflow.
Yeah.
There was no workflow.
No, nobody knew who to turn to. There was no leader.
There was no real leader.
Yeah, in other words, it was a bunch of guys or gals that got together and went outside. Okay, a bunch of guys and women, okay, or a bunch of people, okay, that got together to play basketball with no point guard or no coach or nobody. They just got out there and just...
That had to leave a lot, like me, so I knew the most about it, but I got to go back and do a crown.
But nobody knew how to run the game plan.
Correct.
Okay.
And so people would fall through the cracks continually. And then we had all these systems. In my particular practice, it was, hey, you got to do this before you do this, and if you don't do this...
But where did those come from?
Fear. I think it's fear of...
Did you make those up?
I did not make them up. I think it was... You know how, I don't know, maybe this is my problem.
But if you didn't make them up, where do they come from?
Experience. So if a team member quotes somebody a certain fee and their insurance doesn't pay that much, and now they have to ask that patient for
more money. Yeah.
It's very uncomfortable.
Of course.
And they remember that. Even though that happens on a small percentage of people, they hate
And
that.
Even if it's $5, they'll like remember it forever.
Right, and they hate that feeling. And so they have this fear of asking for the wrong price for the patient. And then having this device come in and we don't get enough or anything. And then we have to go back and ask for it. And so I think it really caused a fear for them to ask for, to see this process through. I think that's my perception. Because I feel like there's tons of these patients in my practice. I'm seeing several times a day someone that suffers from the symptoms. We have a discussion every day. And I do think that until this particular weekend, I emphasize too much going to a sleep lab.
Okay. So let's talk about that.
Okay.
Why? Where'd you get that in your head from?
I don't know. I don't think it was me.
It wasn't you.
Yeah.
But
I hope it wasn't you.
That I learned, back then, I had the same belief.
And I learned sleep from three.
How long ago was that?
I was there a year.
One year ago, October.
Yeah, October.
Okay.
But so, just then, I was starting to switch.
To the HSTs.
To my belief where patients weren't getting the help they needed.
No.
But right when you were teaching it, you were showing it to us, but you were still kind of implementing it. You go ahead and try this, but you still probably taught it under, here's the gold standard, which is work with your sleep physician.
But that is the gold standard.
Yes.
It is to work with your sleep physician. But you can't let them hold you back.
That's what the problem
is. And see, that's the problem. So we're taught through the academies and through the boards or whatever it may be, by what I call these pie-in-the-sky thinkers who've managed to establish these high-level relationships that many of us can't establish. And the truth is patients don't want to go to sleep labs.
No, they really don't want to go to sleep labs. I mean, it's a real hurdle.
So I think
there can only be one or two or three providers that have these great relationships with the handful of providers of the sleep doctors.
And the sleep labs, by the way, only make money when they provide sleep CPAPs. They don't really make money on doing the studies. The studies are I don't want to use the word loss leader, but the studies aren't a big money maker for them. The money is in the CPAPs and the monthly fees and the ancillary appliances for the CPAP devices. So what you found, what I'm hearing from you is that you felt that your team was doing a good job of recognizing potential patients, and that you were led to believe or had your own belief that the next step was all these patients needed to go to a sleep lab to get a sleep study.
Yeah, the kind of dialogue that I would have with a patient is, let's say I identified you as a sleep patient.
I am a sleep patient.
I was going to say, not you.
No, never me. Not T-Bone sleeps.
Yeah, Tarun, and you sleep on your side all the time. I'll go through all the questions we've identified. Yeah. We've talked about it a little bit. And what are my options? Well, I can't diagnose that. I'm not a physician.
Number one, okay.
I need a diagnosis. And so to diagnose this, even though I'm seeing all these symptoms, we need a physician involved. So there's two different ways of doing that. You can go to a sleep lab, or we can send you home with a sleep test. What are the pros and cons of each? And I'm giving it to him first. Mm-hmm. If you do the sleep lab, you get a physician, and you have all this different cycles of sleep. You get to see a more thorough sleep study. This is how I would say it.
Oh, your patient's eyes have glazed over.
Yeah, you're right. But this is what I'm doing. This is one of my mistakes, right?
Well, at least so that's verbal diarrhea 101.
They'll have the different cycles of sleep. And then maybe you'll probably pay more towards your deductible, which the plus side is then when you come back for a device, you'll be less out of pocket usually. Okay? So I'm having way too much discussion, right? So here's the pros and cons to the
holy smokes!
You get to take this home. It's only $200.
You know, people want to be led, right? What is the saying?
He doesn't know.
I mean, I know you can know now, but I'm just saying, you can take the horse to pasture, but you can't.
But if anything, I was encouraging them more towards the
sleep lab.
Sleep lab. And the reason for that is when Aaron came, we had this big success in these patients that had gone to the sleep lab, and we had a Hutan, our friend, do the billing, and we got these big checks, and it was like, wow, this worked. So there was all this excitement in that particular pathway. This one provider that I knew that sent the patients back to me and I made devices for. So that worked for a handful of patients right out of the gate.
But I want to back up on that. So you were lucky that you found a provider that sent the patients back to you. Step number one. And step number two, this is also predicated on patients actually going there.
Right.
Okay. So there's two things that are a little bit difficult there.
That are difficult, but we pulled off. And so we had this early success. We thought, maybe let's just keep doing it this way. This is easier for us. And then what I found out after a full year of recall is that, like, every day now I see patients that I talk to about, we had this expert come into our office, this doctor, she's the best in the country that trained us, and we learned all about sleep, and we recognized this, and we got the patient all excited about it. Now, 6 months later, a year later, I ask him, you didn't do that sleep study? Like, what happened? Why?
A doc could cost a lot of money, and I don't have time. Who's going to watch my kids?
All the obstacles, And so...
Can you come babysit my kids?
Right.
You're like, I got four of my own.
And so what I got out of this weekend is I've got the tools already in my office. I've got a great home sleep study. I understand really well how to read it, even though I'm not going to read it.
You're
going to
review it,
I'm going to review it. But I understand what I'm looking for, and I can have the discussion without too much verbal diarrhea.
Yeah.
And that I can get more and more patients with treatment that they really need. I don't think we're not making something for people they don't need.
No, this isn't about the money.
That's why I never really reached out to sleep labs in particular. I just wanted to take care of my patients.
Yeah.
I love doing CEREC. I love doing implants. That's kind of my niche.
Right.
So I just tell my patients that this is just something that I want to be able to provide a service to my patients in my practice. And now I'm even more excited about it because I've seen...
You can stop doing fillings.
That too. Do less fillings. And you really can, with sleep, you can do a lot more auxiliary help.
So let's talk about this sleep lab home sleep test. Like, all of that, I'm so glad that you were so honest with us. But that's so counterintuitive to logic to me. And so I'm like, well, if the physicians don't want to help me, if my patients don't want to go, then why don't I just help them myself?
Way smarter than I am.
Well, no, thank you, but
But really, I thought that was a better flow, and I had resistance from my team of doing all these steps. There's a lot of steps of this that are foreign. There's a whole language that Aaron spent a whole day teaching us yesterday that's new.
Yeah.
When you drop terms like HST and
OSA and AHI and
it's a new language. And then when you hit it depends on the oxygen saturation level.
And RERAs and
it can be intimidating.
UARS.
That it's like your first year at dental school.
And UVULA.
Yeah, but your first year at dental school, you're like, oh my gosh, how am I ever going to learn this? And now it's
your first year at dental school, I'm paying $65,000 for this.
Right.
Now it's second nature, but it is.
But that takes a little bit of time.
Yeah.
to be able to grasp that. And then you learn all those terms, but you don't want to use them.
No, you don't.
All right. So, okay. So now we've established that. So, you know, again, and I've talked about this on the podcast before, but I have a 4-step plan to sleep apnea implementation. It's awareness and urgency. What are the 4 steps to a sleep apnea implementation? Okay. So awareness first.
But I remember all the different ways that you could bring awareness. Okay. I know
so,
which ones I'm going
to. Yeah. So step 1 is awareness and urgency. Okay. Step 2 is diagnosis. Okay. Step 3 is the financials and medical insurance, and step 4 is treatment. Okay. And the thing I always say to dentists is dentists, when I start talking about sleep, like they interrupt me mid-sentence and say, what appliance do you use? I go, hubba jubba jubba. Like, it really.
Is that Indian?
Yeah. Like, no, Jungle Book. I said Jungle Book. Okay. Because it really doesn't matter what appliance you use. Okay. Now, sure, it does matter. Okay. Some are better for certain patients than others. But generally speaking, in today's world, these companies make good appliances. But I tell everybody, and the point I tried to make this morning when I joined the course is it's about the funnel. The most important thing is if you create awareness for your patients, you put one more person in the funnel. Okay. And as you put people in the funnel, then you can start doing something with them. And then the treatment becomes a byproduct of putting people in the funnel. Then you worry about how to do the treatment once people say, yeah. So I heard from Larry Rosenthal. One of the first lectures I ever went to was from Larry Rosenthal. And I don't know if he was being joking or if he was being serious about this. He says, I just wait for the patient to say yes. And then I figure out how to do it. And that's kind of how I figured out things to do. I said, well, I just had a patient say yes to a hybrid. I got to figure out how to do it, right? So, and that's kind of how I want you guys to think about sleep in a way, in terms of the appliance you use and how you get the bite and all of those things. People get so caught up on those things. I'm like, let's talk about the awareness and the medical insurance, because honestly, all that other stuff doesn't matter if you don't create awareness, if you don't have a safe and easy way to get to diagnosis, and if you don't have an easy way for patients to pay for this, because then it doesn't matter what appliance you use because you're just never going to use it.
Well, that's something that I learned from you years ago, actually, was about implants, about removing obstacles.
Yeah.
And so I think something that you really focused on in this particular course was how do you remove obstacles from the awareness to actually get into the treatment? And, you know, I think that's what most of us forget. That's the most critical part. We get bogged down, general dentists, and want to talk about technique.
Yeah.
We want to
verbal diarrhea, right?
But we also understand a handpiece and what can we grind? Yeah. What can we do? What's the magic thing that I can do? We can visualize that.
How can I get one more megapascal of bond strength? Yeah, I heard if you spit on the teeth, right. That you'll get, I just snorted it.
You can't do any of those things if you can't get the patient to say yes. Yeah. You can't get the patient to say yes if you have all those obstacles. So without raising awareness and then removing the obstacles, you're never going to get to make an appliance.
So what are your thoughts, Aaron?
Oh, I think it's really pretty eye-opening as far as Eric's perspective.
Yeah.
Because he did have some background before he came. And teaching with you is actually really fun because when we get to...
Because I might say anything?
Yeah. Anything.
Like today I called somebody ugly.
See, it doesn't offend me. I just think it's really just, you said yin and yang. I say good cop, bad cop. Yeah. But it is a lot of fun to see these dentists excited when they leave. And most importantly is to see them actually do it,
yeah. So I want to talk again about this HST because that drives me.
Or home sleep study.
Home sleep study, yeah, home sleep test. Well, what I like to call it is a screening, okay? Because one of the things I want to correct on you that you said is I always say that we can't decide if we can treat a person until I see the data. So like the generally accepted rule is that a severe apneic should not be treated with oral appliance therapy. And one of our patients that we saw today in the course was a severe apneic, correct? He had an AHI.
Technically.
By all definition, if I said we had an AHI of 33, I think it was, that's a severe apneic, correct? And then most dentists are led to believe that automatically 30 and above can't treat.
Because we like numbers.
Right.
Get them to the lab.
Okay, right. Let's get them to a lab or whatever it is. And one of the things I like to do, especially with the home sleep test, and this is what I love about what we're doing is a 30 is not always a 30. Okay. And again, as dentists, I know we can't interpret. I know we can't score, but a 30. So if you can be a 30 and not have any apneic events, right? You can have all hypopneas.
Right.
Okay. And so that person that's a 30 and have all hypopneas, in my opinion, can be treated with an oral appliance.
And his oxygen was
perfect. And right, and this person's oxygen never dropped below 90. They had, you know, a decent number of apneic events, but a significant number of hypopneic events. And then, the, you know, his on his back, he was like a 40-something. On his side, he was like a 15 or 16, if I remember correctly. And then you start looking at all these things like, okay, so the oxygen doesn't go really down. His pulse stayed pretty regular throughout the night. And really, when if we can just keep him off his back, you know, if we can probably just do some positional therapy along with oral appliance therapy, we should get this 32. We should legitimately expect to get this 32 down to a 15 or a 10. But I'm saying legitimately, yeah. And then with the little bit of work and some physiological changes, we should be really be able to expect to get a great result for this person. And to me, we can't decide how and why and what ways to treat somebody until we have the data. And to me, that's the important part of a home sleep testing appliance in terms of how I'm treating people. When I'm looking at somebody, I have to take into consideration the whole person. And I also look at co-conditions, and we talked about that today and yesterday, is diabetes, high blood pressure, you know, all these different things, depression, you know, and all those things that were going there. Okay, so
if I were to make a comparison, I think what you're saying is if we don't have that information, right, we don't feel comfortable with our diagnosis. The same way if we were doing a comprehensive exam and we only had photos.
Right.
So we didn't have the x-rays. Like, go take the x-rays and then come and get me.
Right.
Because I don't even want to have this discussion until I've got the whole picture. In this case, when we've got all these other symptoms, that's part of the picture, the co-diagnosis. But if you don't have the x-rays, or in this case, the results.
The sleep data.
The sleep data, you just can't make a diagnosis.
Well, and that's what I, like, hit home a ton, is like, it's not about the number, it's about the story.
Yeah. It's about what's going on.
It's about the patient.
Yeah.
And you can't just look at numbers.
And think about that patient, that the specific person we're talking about today. The patient wasn't in the class. The patient was the husband of an attendee of the class. And she was driven by, hey, my husband snores a little, by the way.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. My husband snores a little.
And gained a little bit of weight. I thought he was pretty good shape.
Yeah.
5'10", 210.
Yeah, 5'10", 220. Yeah. And he's gained a little bit of weight. But he's, you know, pretty active person, but he can't lose it.
But then he falls asleep when he comes home from work.
Right, and then he can't watch a football game,
like,
you know.
The story comes out.
Right, and then, because
ask the question.
Well, right, but that's what I try to really, see, we've been trained to not ask the follow-up question. No, I didn't ask the question, I asked the follow-up question.
Right.
So there's a difference. I want to make sure I'm clear on that. It's not that I ask the question, I ask the follow-up question. That's like when somebody says, why don't you like watch a smile? It's not white enough. Okay, so some people stop there. I'll say, well, what do you mean by that? Like, how white do you want it to be? So that's the follow-up question. Mm-hmm. So when she said, my husband snores a little, the first thing I says, well, what do you mean by a little? Well, and then she goes, all night. I'm like, that's not a little. And then I'm like, so how long have you been married? And then she said, I think 22, 23 years, okay? And I said, so how long has he been snoring? And then the story comes on. It started recently. He's gained weight. It's gotten worse lately. I'm like, well, this doesn't sound like a little issue. And so I did all of this before we read the sleep study, right? Then we got the sleep study, and you could just see her eyes. Like, my God, this is my husband who I care about.
Yeah.
And you're telling me he's a severe apneic. Right after I told her that the mortality rate for a severe apneic is 40% 15 years out from now, right?
And you had the whole room try to hold your breath for one of his events.
35 seconds.
35 seconds, and I couldn't do it.
Yeah, 35 seconds, right?
Yeah.
And then she's like, my God, this is not a little snoring anymore. To me, that's where really it all comes together for me, is when, because now we're touching somebody and we're really understanding. And this is what's key to me, is we're interpreting the sleep report in a humanistic way. We're not repeating and regurgitating numbers to our patient. We're making the patient understand what these numbers mean, and we're giving it to them in a context of how it fits in their life. Okay, so she kept saying snoring was important to me. So I kept talking about snoring to her. Right. And then when I noticed that snoring was no longer the big issue, now she's worried about, why is my husband holding his breath 20 times a night for 35 seconds each? Mm-hmm. Right. Now I start asking about life insurance. Right. You know, and maybe I have that way of being funny and stuff like that, but that's how I am with patients too. Right. So then by the end of it, she's ready. She's like ready to go. And then this is where I said, Okay, now I tried to ask the group, so what's the next step? And everybody's like, well, schedule for a records appointment, or let's get a pre-authorization. Let's do all these other things. And I said, no, the next step is your patient's in the chair right now. Take your records today. So why should you wait to take records?
Well, you could tell the panic in her eyes. She wanted them done yesterday.
Yeah. So take the records today.
She didn't care.
Okay.
She probably wouldn't have cared what it cost.
No, right. But at the end of the day, she doesn't, okay?
In my office, we were terrified of taking the records that day because did we get the pre-authorization? Did we get the verification of benefits? Did we do all these steps? But turns out you can do those steps later.
You can do those steps concurrently. Mm-hmm. You can do those steps tonight. You can do those steps tomorrow. But see, what happens is we forget, and I talk about this on the implant side a lot, is we forget what is an easy visit for us in our appointment. Like, okay, honestly, we tell patients, how long is it going to take if I have to come back for impressions? Oh, 10 minutes. And that's a lie. Okay, right? Because no impressions take 10 minutes to take. It's 15, 20 minutes by the time it's all said and done. Okay. Okay, but then what we forget is it's not a 20-minute appointment for your patient. That patient has to ask off for work. They have to get in their car. They have to drive there. They have to be on time. They want to be there early because they want to be good, conscientious patients. They want to get this done. And then they're all thinking about this. It's one more chance for them to say, I really don't have time today. It's one more chance for them to fall through the cracks. All of these things constantly happen. And that's what we saw happening in our practice over time. So I finally started saying, you know what, just take the records today. And what's the worst thing that happens if we take records today?
That's always our goal. In fact, I have the privilege, the blessing of having three operatories. Mm-hmm. And one of them is our sleep overflow room. But I get that opportunity to, you know what, this person just drove 2 hours to see us.
Or 10 minutes, whatever it is,
right? We're going to take the impressions and we can call them with the financials later. It's not a big deal. We are going to take these impressions today because they're bought in and they don't care what it costs.
You know, I'll give another perspective that we forget about. And I'm not trying to be sexist or male,
not
whatever.
I just
am, right? But okay, so let's say I'm a mother of two or three kids and my kids are 3, 4, and 6. Okay, so only one of them is in school, right? And my husband works. So how much work is it for that mother to come to their appointment?
It's a lot.
So now you got to find somebody to watch your kids. Mm-hmm. You got to do all of these things. And so we forget the human side of this, okay?
I don't.
I know, but as men, right? No, but as males,
yeah.
In general, our problem as males is that we forget the human side of this stuff, right? We never bothered to ask, and I'm not saying we should ask our patients, but we should be conscious of it, of what it took them to be there today. Because the truth is what I try to instill is that if you take records today, there's nothing that your team can't do so that the next visit is delivery. Everything else can be done without the patient ever showing up, without you even being in the office.
Yep.
Okay. Your team can then do pre-authorization. They can, if they got questions, oh, we need your insurance. We need this, all of that stuff. Pick up the phone and call them. Okay. Hey, oh, the insurance is asking for this. Pick up the phone and call them. Or, hey, we need this or that, whatever it is. All of that can be done without.
You want to know what I did the other day? This is a little off of sleep.
Yeah. I want to.
I have a patient who's an OBGYN.
You ate a McDonald's?
Yeah. No, actually, I have a patient who's an OBGYN with 3 kids. And she was there with her 3 kids, and one of them needed sealants. Guess who sat down and did sealants?
To save the patient time.
Me.
Poor you.
I did sealants.
Yeah, I would never do that.
I know, but yeah. I know her life. Like, she was not going to come back.
Yeah. Her kids were going to suffer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Poor kids.
Yeah, I see.
Not good errand, poor kids. So does that make sense? So we want to do that right away and get there. So I think the biggest things we try to instill in, not so many more, but it's creating awareness. It's getting diagnosis through HSTs. And look, when I say through HSTs, I'm not trying to cut out the physicians. My goal is never to cut out the physicians. My goal is to remove barriers for patients. Mm-hmm. That's it. Okay. If the physicians are on board and want to help us and want to be co-coordinating with care, because we do believe in co-coordinating care. That's one of the reasons we use specialized software in this situation is to be able to communicate with physicians of what we're doing because we want to co-coordinate care and then to find a way to make it easy for patients to say yes. And then the treatment part becomes easy. Okay, then it's, you know, about how many visits does it take, how often do you see them, what do you do for your follow-ups, all of that stuff. So,
yeah. You know, bread and butter.
The bread and butter.
The meat and potatoes.
The stuff that dentists should be good at, right? The things that we should, it's amazing. As soon as we start talking about how to treat, they're like, eyes light up. Okay, I got to start writing stuff down. And I'm thinking, I'm sitting in the back and like, dude, this is the part you can figure out on your own. To me, the part is about how do you get the patient to say yes. All right, so Aaron, you got anything else to talk about on the sleep side of things?
No, it's just really cool to have a friend here and to know that
so I want to ask,
to be integrating his passion.
I want to ask Eric, let's talk about his practice a little bit. You know, so talk about what are some, I always like to end the interviews, I talk about struggles and then ask you to ask questions and stuff like that. So what are some goods and bads and struggles? And, you know, I always, you know, one of the comments I hear all the time about the podcast is that, you know, it's real world in a way, right? And I think one of the things that makes it real world is I talk about the bads. You know, I want to talk more about the bads than the goods, okay? Because I think we learn so much more from the bads. So let's talk about, because you have a great practice. You're a great clinician. So who is Eric Blue? And tell us about yourself. I mean, what is it that you do? What are you passionate about? Where do you want to get to?
I am passionate about learning things, and that's why I'm here. And so I'm really excited about the things that we learned. The scary part for me, the struggle, is implementation. Okay. I've got a list of things that I put them on my phone. I wrote a lot of things, but I put the list of things on my phone that I've got to do on Monday. And when I get back, I am worried about the pushback. I'm worried about Dr. Agarwal, Dr. Elliott both said that we can get these sleep studies out that day. I don't want to hear from them. Well, remember about the pre-authorization code told us we had to have this first, or we need this information for verification of benefit. The obstacles. I'm worried about that. And I shouldn't be, but that's the struggle. We go to CE, we get really jazzed about it. And the problem is a lot of the CE that I attend, I'm attending.
Right.
I'm not attending with my entire team. So I go back and it's tough to convey all that excitement that I have properly.
All right, so how can we help you with that?
What I've been begging you to do is just like, I just want to send my staff.
I want to send my
your office.
So, here's an amazing.
Okay.
So I should take some of my own advice, right?
Yeah.
I should break down barriers, right?
Yeah.
So I got my own barrier, right? Make it easy for you.
Yeah.
The answer is we're working on it. We're really going to get there. And I think you met Megan and Joe and Angela, our hygienist, who was taking the class today. So we're getting there. We're going to get there to where what we want to do is provide follow-up opportunities for, in fact, you know, I'm adamant that right now the dentists come with the team members.
Yeah.
And, you know, but that's for the initial learning and what I call the buy-in. Okay. For me is if I don't have buy-in from the dentist, then there's going to be no leadership on the team part. Okay. So once I have buy-in, honestly, I don't want the dentist anymore. Okay, because in my world, in my ideal mind is I want the dentist to give blessing, the buy-in and the blessing, and then I want to train the team to take it from there, take ownership and be there. And so that's I think the next step of what I really got to do to take education to a higher level is once I get buy-in from the dentist and the blessing from the dentist, is it's my ultimate vision. And we're getting close. We're so close right now at our office. My ultimate vision is I want you to send your entire team, all of them. And me being who I am, I almost want to make it mandatory. If they all don't come, none of them come. And I want your hygienist to work with my hygienist, your assistants to work with my assistants, your front office team to work with my front office team. And I want everybody to just do a day in the life or a week in the life of our practice.
I would love that.
And that's not because I'm saying we're perfect, because we're not.
No, but you figured it out.
We've got certain things figured out better than others.
Yes.
Not perfectly, but better or less worse.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I like saying less worse, right? We've got certain things figured out less worse than others. But here's what I do have figured out unbelievably well. I've figured out, and maybe it's by pure luck, but I don't think it's by pure luck, I figured out how to cultivate people who buy into me and what I want in the practice. They take ownership of that.
And what happens if they don't?
They go.
Yeah.
They go.
And I think so much, like even.
Like, well, there was a former employee in our class today, former team member in our class today, right?
I've been afraid for so long, like, oh my gosh, this person's been so loyal. They work so hard.
Yeah. Oh, how about this? I lost my sleep coordinator.
They need to be let go.
Man, we had to part with our sleep coordinator 2 months ago, and we haven't missed a beat.
No.
We haven't. And in fact, we're better off today, I think, because We have now people who are 100, no, I wouldn't say 100, we're 99%
yeah.
bought into me and the way we want to do things. And that's ultimately important. So what other struggles we got, Eric?
The sleep champion, not the ambassador, okay. because I don't want them killed.
that's only if they're in Benghazi and we have emails that are deleted. I'm not trying to be political today.
So in my mind all day.
By the time this comes out, he or she will be president, so it doesn't matter.
All day, I'm trying to think who would be the best person for that. Do I choose an assistant? I don't think
you choose.
Okay, how?
I think you throw it out there and see who takes it and runs with it.
That's a good idea.
That's really good idea. Usually happens. No.
Because then you're picking sides. And what you're doing is you're showing favoritism.
Well, that's what I'm concerned about.
Yeah, so don't show favoritism. So, you know, say what?
And
listen,
so
guys.
I choose one. I come back and you're the lucky one.
Yeah. It's always the same lucky one, by the way.
That's why I said, don't let it be your lead assistant. Maybe it's someone that's been in the shadows that was afraid to step up, but someone that can get excited and really take ownership.
I call it the Peggy Olson from Mad Men. Do you watch Mad Men?
I don't.
Okay, so Peggy Olson in Mad Men was a little secretary. Again, Mad Men set in the 50s and 60s. Yeah. Women were only secretaries. Yeah. So she turned out to become the creative director of their company.
Yeah.
But she was just a little secretary. She was quiet and meek. And no one in the office would have ever thought that she had that in her. So I would say to you, Eric, is you know what? Don't pick somebody.
Okay.
Say, listen, gang, here's what I need to have done. And see who takes it. Because that person who's going to take it is the person. Mm-hmm. And it may not be. For example, let's say I use one of my assistants. One of my assistants may not like sleep. She may not like talking to people about this stuff. She may be so good at the implant stuff that she doesn't want to do any of this. So why would I force her because she's good at... And I think this is what happens to all organizations. They take their best salesperson because they're the best salesperson. What do? They put them into management. Okay? And generally speaking, good salespeople are horrible managers. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
And then what happens is you take your best salesperson, you move them into management, they hate it, and they leave.
I have 2 points. The first is that you made a hygienist.
Yes.
Your sleep champion.
I hadn't even thought of
which
that.
You're like, oh my gosh, we have to pay a hygienist fee. Nah, 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 nah. But you'll make it back.
Oh, that's a long question.
Second of all, we had an attendee today who asked me for advice. She's like, I only have 2 hygienists, 2 assistants, 1 front office. I'm low staff as it is. How would I add this?
She's low infection as it is.
Oh my God. I'm usually so good at that. Okay. So I asked her, do you have any past team members that had a baby and now are staying home? And maybe they want some part-time work. She goes, you know what? That just happened 2 months ago. And I know this girl would love, or this gal.
Gal.
Would love.
Well, aren't they gals? I mean, aren't they gals? I mean, holy smokes. I can't call them girls. I can't call them women. What do I call them? Robots? this woman, fembot? I'm a fembot? Is that what I got to call them now?
This woman would love some part-time work. Just so she's not, you know, if she can't come back full-time. And it's something that, as a hygienist especially, they are providers. And usually have a lot more science background, but she's like, that's a great idea. I think I'm going to approach this woman about it.
Another one of my thoughts is if we went outside of our office, because we're busy, everyone's busy in their current position.
But listen, if you added 5 more people to your office, everybody would be busy.
Right.
Okay. There's no end to we need more people, okay? Right.
But I was thinking, in my particular town, they opened up a hygiene school a few years back, and there's just too many hygienists.
You should get the dropouts.
That's what I was thinking. There's a lot of, not dropouts, there's a lot of highly trained hygienists that understand dentistry and that only work in an office 2 days a week. And they'd love to pick up a third day somewhere. And that's an easy way to just, easy pickings. You go find someone that's a real people person.
So can I give you guys some negatives?
Have her just be your advocate that 1 day a week.
Okay, can I give you some negatives to that?
Yes.
Okay. Please. So, and same for the person that you talked to, okay? So what you're saying to me is your patients that come in, all your sleep patients are going to come in on 1 day.
No, But so okay, your consults could be on day. All your coordination,
okay,
all your records could be.
Yes, okay, sure, sure. But what did I just spend all the time talking about? That a barrier is. So now you're telling me that I need to come. I need But then when do I get my records? And who's going to talk to me? So okay, so you can only send a home.
Can take impressions.
No, but Aaron, don't make it sound like it's that easy. You know that.
If I send it home on a Monday and I'm waiting until Thursday, then I'm wasting my sleep machine.
Yeah.
For 3 days. I got you.
Okay. So to me, again, and this is why I believe at some point in vertical integration, and I got to talk to you guys about this. Oh, whatever, we'll go over in time. I don't care. I met a gentleman that came to our medical billing course a couple of weeks ago. I was talking to him. He's an Indian fellow from South Carolina, brown, okay, brown guy like me. That's why he's smart. But anyway, he introduced me to his team member. And then I started talking to her and I say, how long have you been working for him? And she goes, jokingly said, this is our first time we've ever met. And I said, I looked at him like, are you nuts? And he said, yes, I work remotely. So I can buy into maybe you have a sleep coordinator 1 or 2 days a week, okay, or whatever it may be. But I believe that you have to have on-demand medical billing access.
Okay.
Because remember I said your patient's number one question is, how much?
Right.
Okay. So to me, one of the big things are is you have to be able to figure out a way. Now, you can utilize some of the specialized sleep software to do that for you. But to me, going back to the bigger point of this is, so I don't believe that you can have a sleep champion there 1 day a week.
Okay.
Okay, because hygiene runs 4 days a week or 5 days a week, 5 days a week in your case, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what happens on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? Those hygiene patients have to do what? Come back, all right? So I would say to you that we have to find a way to have somebody there every day,
okay,
on demand.
I already have that luxury, so it's easy for me
again,
to say.
Right.
So
but and so here's what I did, okay? So I created that position, okay, ultimately, right? So when I took Megan, my hygienist, out of hygiene for 2 days a week, and I took Liz, my assistant, out of assisting me 2 days a week, that means I had to fill the spots, okay? So in theory, I'm funding that part of my business. Okay, it's a startup.
We did the same thing with hygiene when we built this new operatory.
It's a startup.
Now we're doing more hygiene, and it never happens until you just open that chair up.
Yep.
And when you open up that, you force yourself to do it.
If you build it, it will come.
And so in this case, you force yourself to do it by creating a position.
So I told him, I said, listen, and I told the people we put in that position, that they replaced, quote unquote, replaced them, okay? As I said, listen, I'm going to fund this for 6 months. This is an extra position in my practice. I'll fund it for 6 months. It's a startup. Okay. And that's the mindset I want you to have. And that's the mindset I want everybody else to have is that if you want to be serious about this, be serious about it. Okay. Don't be, and I know I don't want you to take this the wrong way, but don't be cheap about this. Okay. Fund it like a business. Okay. Fund it completely. So you say to yourself, what is it going to cost me for 6 months to be 100% dedicated to this to the best way possible? What's it going to cost you? 30 grand? 25 grand? I mean, for one employee, full-time employee for 6 days, for six months.
We'll spend that on technology.
Well, you don't even need technology to do this stuff.
No, but you're
in a heartbeat, right? So you're gonna fund a human being for 20 grand for 6 months. Okay. So I would hire somebody and I would say, listen, and this is how you can really find out who's great. Okay. Is you say, listen, I've got working capital of $30,000. 20 grand of it is yours for 6 months. 10 grand of it is what it costs to market, get some things going, a home sleep test machine, all this other stuff. Okay. You've got 6 months to make this business work. This is all you have to do. You have my entire practice of 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 people to cultivate from. We're seeing 40 human beings walk through this practice every day. Statistically, we know that 3 or 4 of these people that walk through our practice every day have this disease. Okay. Here's a list of every physician in town. Okay.
Well, if they don't have patients, what could they be doing?
They could be going to those physician's office. They could be making phone calls. And now in 6 months, if you can't make this business worthwhile, you won't be here anymore.
Hello? Okay.
So you've nipped the risk. And at that point, you can say, you know what? I've totally funded it the best way possible because what in a way you're doing, and this is how we, me included, this is how we do things, is we set ourselves up for, well, we didn't quite give it our complete try. That's why it didn't work out. And then we just keep spinning our wheels year after year after year, trying to just do the same thing over and over again, when ultimately what we got to do is just be committed like a startup. Okay, so fund that person. But hire a human being 100% dedicated to this. Okay, and honestly, if you hire one person, they can do your eligibility checks. They can do all that.
One big question I have is you've indicated what you did in your practice, which is hire within or ask mm-hmm. within who wants to do it.
I did that.
You hired to replace them.
Yes.
And you encouraged me to do that. But I'm also hearing another option would be go home and find a new person because I don't need someone that's got a dental background for this.
To a certain degree, you don't. Okay, but here's the negative in this. Okay, so, and this is what happened to me. I brought somebody in for this position. That person left. Oh. Okay, or that person didn't mesh with me.
And you didn't know that because...
You don't know if they're going to mesh with you, okay? There's two couple of different ways. I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth, okay? So I'm giving you both options, okay?
Oh, that's good.
Okay, so you can bring somebody from the outside.
But it's a better option than trying to do the one day a week.
I don't think the one day a week works, personally. If your practice will one day a week works. Okay, but I don't think sleep apnea is a one day a week thing. I think sleep apnea is a hit or miss thing in a way. And by that hit or miss, I don't mean like you never know when it's going to work, but you never know when it's going to work. Right? Because it may be tomorrow, Monday morning, you may have three. And then you might go the rest of the week with none.
Yeah, I've seen that already.
Right? And so what happens if your person's there on Fridays and you got none? And then now your person's spending their time chasing these people down. And what needs to happen is you need to do it while your patient's there. Now, back to the point about whether you bring somebody in from the outside. So for me, okay, so I'm talking both sides of my mouth here, okay? Mm-hmm. I think this is a rewarding, honorable position to have in the practice. At the end of the day, I think it's relatively easy work. I think it's hard work and there's parts of it, but it's not physically taxing. No. Like I wouldn't want to be, like I think hygiene work is physically taxing, scraping on teeth, bent over. I think being an assistant is unbelievably taxing.
Did you see me get stuck in the assistant chair today?
Yeah,
I didn't know how to work it.
Yeah, I saw.
Well, another thing that Aaron taught me is when we make these appliances, we change lives. Yeah. And occasionally, several times a year, we can do a big case. Veneers, we can change a life with a smile.
Yeah.
We get the satisfaction. But you get to do this frequently when you're changing someone's sleep patterns and they're snoring and their spouse and people give you big hugs, Aaron, right? You said mm-hmm. that like people say, thanks for saving my marriage. So this person has that reward as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
The patients really get to thank them in the process.
But I don't mean like that. I want to, and that's part of it, okay? But I want to use Liz, my assistant, as an example, okay? So Liz has been with me 8 or 9 years now, okay? And one day we were talking, I'm like, Liz, you like it here? And she says, yes. I mean, what else is she going to say to me, right? So, no, I hate it here, but I'm only here because it's paycheck. See you later, you're fired. You know, I said, Liz, what are you going to do 10 years from now? Do you want to be working this hard? And she's like, no. I mean, I got to work. I mean, she has to work, right? We all have to work. And so I said, well, Liz, we need to find a less taxing position for you. You need to think about where you want to be 5 or 10 years from now in case your back gives out. Because as an assistant, what do you do if your back gives out? What do you do as a dentist if your back gives out? I say that this position is a position that I look at as a step up mm-hmm. in the ladder. So why would I bring somebody in from the outside to do that when I can reward my internal team members for that position? Okay, and I would say it's easier to find an assistant than it is to find a sleep coordinator. Okay. I think, why don't you take somebody that's good or give that opportunity to see within your office to see who wants to step up and take that position, because somebody you know, trust, will follow your leadership, that will be with you through thick and thin. Okay. Why don't you have that person do that and bring somebody else in as an assistant? And if you fund that position and it doesn't work, you can let the new assistant go and take your sleep coordinator and put them back into the assisting role. So I think that's been my lesson in the last year, is that, you know what, from now on, when I have a position that I think is a cush, quote unquote, job, I don't think it's cush, okay? But I think it's a step up. I think it's the next step in moving up, is that I'm going to take my internal team and reward them with that option and slide somebody else from the outside into their old job and allow that, my team that's been with me forever, allow them to move up. And let somebody else start from the bottom. I call it replacing yourself. Okay, so I teach my team members that you need to learn to replace yourself. What other things you got? We got a few minutes left.
Where do you see yourself in 10 years?
Well, if he keeps wearing those glasses, he's going to be...
Those glasses are rad.
They're rad. Oh my God, 1980s word. Rad.
I'm old.
Yeah. I'm older than you.
Not much.
Yeah, not much.
I see myself in 10 years. Technology has changed dramatically in 8 years. If you think about your cell phone 8 years ago, mm-hmm. how primitive it is now, dentistry has changed dramatically at the same level in 8 years. So it's exciting to think about what kind of things I'd be doing in 8 years. Now, I do implants dramatically different with CeraGuide 2 this year than I did 1 year ago. I'm learning techniques on implants now that I didn't even know about. Spinning blood and making PRP and
PRF and sticky bone and stuff like that. Yeah.
And so I just want to keep learning and then helping
others. That's such a generic answer, Eric.
Well,
He says sincerely.
I believe it.
But I'm not saying you don't mean it. No, I'm not saying that at all. Okay. But I'm saying I'm challenging you. So what did I tell you we were talking about this on the car on the way back from the ice cream, right? Mm-hmm. I said, I like it best when I make people uncomfortable. So I'm challenging you. You just gave me a total politician answer. Okay. So why don't you ask me the question?
T-bone. Yes. You see yourself in 10 years.
Okay. In 10 years from now, I don't see myself touching a handpiece and touching teeth. Okay. That's a very specific answer, correct?
Yeah, but I love dentistry.
So who says I don't want to do dentistry?
Today you're like, I hate fillings. I don't hate fillings.
But let's be bold, okay? Let's be bold and say what you want 10 years from now, okay? What do you want 10 years from now?
One day less of work.
Okay, great. So now we're on a path. Okay, because see, now we're defined. Wait a minute. But see, you see the difference in these answers?
The follow-up question.
Yes, it's the follow-up. See, and this is making you uncomfortable, right? But see, when you become specific about what you want, okay, now I'm going to ask the follow-up question, okay? So you've given me two things, and that's all I want. That's enough for me right now, okay? So let's start with number one. You said you want to work one day less a week. What would it take for you to work one day less a week? Do you need to make one day less worth of money, or do you need to make the same amount of money?
I'd like the same.
Okay, great. So there's nothing wrong with that, okay? So let's just use fake numbers. Let's say you make $100,000 a year. Okay, I hope you make more, okay? But let's just use that number, okay? So you're saying that right now you work 4 days a week, and you make I know you don't, but just say we make $100,000, so the math is easy. So you want to work 3 days a week and make $100,000.
Yes.
Okay? So you want to increase your salary by 40%. Okay? Ultimately. Okay? So what do you got to do?
You got to figure out how to do different procedures that are more profitable.
Okay, great. But then you better put your handpiece down and stop doing fillings.
You're right.
Okay, but you just told me.
I like fillings.
You like fillings. Okay?
I like them more than you. You hate them.
No, I don't hate fillings. Okay. I don't hate fillings at all. Sometimes it's a little bit of a sanctuary to get down and do a filling and not have to cut open a flap and take out teeth and do all of those things. No. But I just hate fillings because I won't achieve my goals of what I have for myself by doing fillings.
No. What you
see, we have been taught and we have been made to believe that if we don't do what other people do, that we're being disingenuous or being above people. Okay? So you don't have to say to me or to anybody else, you like doing fillings. And you may like doing fillings. But you know what? Fillings will not get you to your goal. Okay? So don't be bold and say, you know what? I want to work one day less. And to work one day less, I've got to replace my fillings with something that paid three times as much as fillings. Okay, or you got to raise your fees on fillings. If you love doing fillings and you want to work one day less, then tell me I want to raise my fees 3x on fillings.
Now, you're absolutely right. And I saw that vision today when you talked about why you hired a hygienist at a high wage to make appliances so I could do less fillings. It made me think, I've got to figure out a way to do the things that I really like to do, which are implants because they're more profitable and I enjoy it.
Yeah, and they're rewarding.
And they're rewarding. And also these sleep appliances, because I do enjoy it, and they're rewarding, and I can...
Did I just make you uncomfortable?
Yeah, you did.
But in a good way, right? because when we give such generic answers, Aaron asked you such a great question, where do you see yourself in 10 years, which is a generic question to a certain degree, right? Okay?
It was on the fly.
No, I'm not saying anything wrong about that, okay? But you gave a generic answer. Okay. And I stopped you because I could have just let you give me that answer. Mm-hmm. Okay. We could have had our listeners hear that, but then we wouldn't have had this moment, right? Where you said, I'm unlike you. I know you didn't say it this way, but unlike you, I like doing fillings. And I know that's total BS. Okay. Because it's not BS. It's BS. You like fillings so much you're willing to work 4 days a week forever.
You're right.
Okay. So you don't like fillings that much.
I just don't hate them as much as you hate them.
That's not true. You don't even know how much I don't hate them or do hate them. Okay. I simply hate that they don't allow me to get to my goal.
I got you.
Okay?
Now I'm understanding.
Okay, so my goal is I need to make the same amount of income because you see how I live. Okay? So I can't, you know, I'm not independently wealthy. Okay? So I got to work. So unfortunately, feelings don't pay the bills. So that was number one. And number two, you said you want team. What was it about team members?
I think he said he wanted a staff that was fully behind.
Yeah, you wanted infection. Yeah. You wanted some infection that was completely about you.
Yeah. But no, I mean, I wish that I just went home more comfortable with what happened throughout the day with interactions with my team. I think most dentists have control issues. I for sure do.
So do we all.
With me, the way that I want to design my ceramic crowns and lots of different things that I like to control. Yeah.
So you're in your own way.
What's that?
You're in your own way.
Yes.
No.
But I feel like I can communicate pretty well with people, but I'm afraid to change things with team members.
Okay. So real quick, have you ever expressed this to your team?
No.
All right. So how can you expect them to help you get there?
I don't know.
It's logical, right? It's logical, right? So let me tell you something that happened to me, okay? And again, I call them rocks in my practice. I have team members and I have rocks. The rocks are the people I lean on that know me, that trust me, okay? You met one of them today, Megan, okay? And the rest of them are getting there, okay? But my team saw my level of frustration about a month ago, maybe a month and a half ago. I was unhappy with my former sleep coordinator. Things weren't going well there. I was unhappy with somebody in the front. I was just unhappy about a few things. They took me to dinner with my wife on their own and said, listen, we want to talk to you. We want you to know the four people from my office and the three people from my wife's office. And we want you both to know that we see that you two are stressed out. But we cannot help you get where you want to get to if you don't clearly communicate what your goal is. Okay. And that day at dinner, I laid out what my goal was. I said, in a perfect world, this is what I want. And they said, great, let's all get there together. Okay. So you have to lay that. And look, I'm not saying you do that and wah, la, 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 it happens.
No, but if I can get back and can, instead of just trying to get everybody jazzed about sleep, I can let them know, hey, my vision is to work 3 days a week.
Yeah.
And in order to work 3 days a week, we've got to make.
And what's in it for them?
We've got to make this and stay as profitable as we are right now.
So that because you guys, just tell your team members, okay? Say, listen, I want to work 3 days a week. Do you guys want to continue to work? You want to get paid for 3 days a week or get paid for 4 days a week? All of them will say 4 days a week. Great. So this is what it looks like. All right. So here's what I need from you. I need you to be 100% on board with sleep because this is important to me, not because I want more money, but this is important to me because I want a better lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Okay? Not because I want a lifestyle, because I want boats and stuff like that, but I want to work 3 days a week. And don't you guys want me not here one day a week so you can have a day of peace and quiet? Think about how much more work you could have and how much better your life would be, team members, if I only worked 3 days a week and you had a true admin day where I wasn't here. And we're still all making the same, just as productive, and all of those things. And this is what my grand vision. I want that when we have ideas, that we sit down and pre-plan a team meeting. Before I leave for my CE event, I want you guys to know every time I go for a CE event that we're going to have a meeting that Monday morning at 6 a.m. or 7 a.m. before the office starts. Okay? Because you guys want us to be successful, because you have so much trust and love in me that I've taken us from zero to this, or from whatever it is to this, and that you know that I'm fully committed, that you on your own pre-book office meeting so that we can talk about what we got to do to implement what we learned. And I want to be able to feel like, you know what, that I want to empower each of you to learn and grow and earn as much as you need to. And what do I got to do for you guys to make that happen? How can I assist? And how can you assist me in getting there? And I think sometimes if you can lay that out for them, and whatever way you got to lay it out for them, okay? And then you can just say, you know, it's kind of like, don't pick the sleep coordinator. Just put it out there and see who takes it. Mm-hmm. And you'll be absolutely amazed at what you find. You'll find out that some of the people that you like the most are never going to get you where you want to go. They'll keep you where you are. And if you're comfortable with where you are, keep doing what you're doing. Okay? But if you want greater things for yourself, you need to make sure that the people that are with you want greater things for you too. Okay. Because if they don't want greater things for themselves or for you, in my opinion, they're not good for you. Mm-hmm. Okay. They're not good for you. And so I think it's, you should always have rocks in your practice. I took a few of my rocks out to lunch the other day, and I took some other rocks out to lunch, and I'm going to take a few other team members out. And every once in a while, randomly, like every 3, 4, 5, 6 months, I'll say, you know what, let's go to lunch. I don't pre-plan it. I just say, hey, I want to go to lunch to get with you guys with my hygienist today. And they look at you like, why? I'm like, don't worry, it's a lunch with a bunch of people. I'm not going to fire you, right? All right, so we get there, and I'll just say, listen, how things going? And here's how I envision my hygiene department. And this is what makes a good hygiene department. And I just leave it at that, okay? I don't say, this is what I need you to do. Mm-hmm. I just say, this is what I envision a great hygiene department to be. And I might ask them, does that sound reasonable to you? And they say, yes, great. Okay, so now I've laid it out for you. Anything you need from me to help you achieve that, that's great. Now let's work towards this goal.
And then they have more of a buy-in because they come up with the ideas. Yeah. They come up with the solutions. Yeah. They have ownership in it.
They do, right?
And all you had to do is provide the vision.
What did I say today? People want to be, what was it? Horses want to be led to the carafe and you can't force them to drink the water. I don't know what that.
The espresso,
whatever it is, right? But people want to be led. Your patients want to be led. You said, gave me the example that you gave your patients the choices. Mm-hmm. People don't want, there's studies out there that show, but there's studies, clear studies out there that show when you give people choices, if there's too many choices, they just buy nothing.
Right.
Okay. Like look at the I cannot go grocery shopping anymore. There's too many ketchups. I liked it better when there was Hunt's and Heinz, and that was it. Now there's like Pico de Gallo ketchup, and there's Sriracha ketchup, and there's Kroger brand, and there's, you know, there's Bilo brand. I mean, there's too many ketchups today. So stop giving people choices and be selfish. So we've been taught to believe that selfish is a bad word. And I don't think selfish is a bad word. I think when you're selfish and you're so clear about what you want, you'll surround yourself by people who want the same thing. And there's nothing selfish about that because you don't want to be surrounded by people that don't what you want. That's why I love the CEREC community so much. That's why I love going to CEREC meetings, is because I'm surrounded by people who want the same damn thing I want.
Right. Do you know why I love teaching CEREC doctors?
Why?
Because they make things happen.
They do, because they're willing to invest, they're willing to put the time in, and they make
happen.
Make
it's
it happen.
The best thing ever. Yeah, it's, I don't get the,
this doesn't work, or I hate going to meetings like, well, tell me why CAD-CAM works. I'm like, dude, you know what? I don't need to tell you why CAD. I'm going to go to hang out with people who think CAD-CAM works.
Yeah.
And or cone beam works, or that think sleep works, or that don't give me the yeah buts and all of that nonsense. So wow, we went over a little bit.
Break this up.
So we have to break this party up. So Aaron, thank you. You're a little quiet today.
Well, I don't have the strongest voice after 1.5 days.
Eric, thank you so much.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure watching you eat 2 cups of ice cream today, by the way. and gobble down 3 rolls of sushi. Oh, I mean, you don't even look like a big dude, by the way. Holy smokes, man. And then I ate a Kit Kat bar afterwards. So everybody, I want to thank you guys for listening. And Eric, how can people get in touch with you? We didn't even talk about your CEREC training and all that stuff that you do, but how can people get in touch with you? Or do you want people to get in touch with you?
I don't know what they would get in touch with me for.
Well, they want help with the CEREC. Maybe they're in Boise. Maybe they're in Idaho. You're a fantastic CEREC owner. You're a fantastic CEREC trainer. I mean, we didn't touch on those things, but you're a great resource. So how would people get in touch with you? What's your email address?
It's my name, EricDBlue@gmail.com. So
can you please spell blue, please, for God's sakes?
E-R-I-C, D as in Dan, and B-A-L-L-O-U, like ball and O-U.
Okay.
@gmail.com.
Okay.
And practice name's Lake Harbor Dental.
In Boise, Idaho.
In Boise. And there's just one branch there, so you can contact Patterson. We're okay. Working with them.
So you do basic training for CEREC. Out of the Boise branch. And then you're also a C trainer for CEREC as well. So that means for those people that buy the CEREC machine, they're entitled, most of the time, I assume, or all the time, they're entitled to have a clinician come to their office to work with them. So you're one of those trainers.
Mm-hmm. Whoop, whoop.
Yeah. So,
in the evening events,
obviously, on the training perspective and things like that. So, I think that's great. I think there's a lot of things there. And you know, I want to take a moment to say, you know, if you're not happy with wherever you are, take medication. I should get Mona on and we should talk about taking medication because it's helped me a lot. Well, maybe it hasn't. But, you know, do that exercise we just did with Eric where you ask yourself, where do you see yourself 5 years from now? And don't give me the BS answers of I want to be doing great dentistry because what are you doing? Shitty dentistry now. So, I mean, you know, you want to be doing great. Don't do that. But let's be bold and be very specific. And work backwards. Work with where you want to be and then ask the follow-up question. How do I get there? What does that look like? What does it take to get there? What's holding me back now? If I wave a magic wand, what would it look like to get there? And answer those questions and then figure out what you got. And there's your answer right there. And figure out what you got to do to make it happen. And if there's anything that I can do in terms of workshops and courses, please don't hesitate to visit 3d-dentist.com. And if you have questions or follow-up that you want for the podcast, just tbonespeaks.com. Thank you guys very much. Thanks again, Aaron and Eric. And Aaron, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, my email is the best thing because we just found out that I'm very responsive.
Yes.
Aaron.
Oh, God.
AaronElliottDDS@gmail.com.
That's two.
Aaron Elliott, two L's, two T's, and two D's.
Yeah. AaronElliottDDS@gmail.com. Everybody have a great day, and I will see you on the next episode.
Thanks so much for listening to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal. Remember to keep striving for excellence, and we'll catch you on the next episode.